हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैर गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 97, chapter 70. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, although the Lord is by nature very beautiful due to the perfect figure of his transcendental body, he would dress himself in yellow garments and put on his necklace of Kustuba jewels. He would wear flower garlands, smear his body with the pulp of sandalwood, and decorate himself with similar cosmetics and ornaments. It is said that the ornaments themselves became beautiful upon being placed on the transcendental body of the Lord. The garlands would not fade, divya, what to speak of withering. And so he's already beautiful, but despite this being beautiful, then he still goes through the activities of putting on all these other aspects to, you know, increase the beauty. But what's happening is that the ornaments themselves are becoming beautiful upon touching the Lord. Right? And then here, you know, pointing out the garland is that doesn't fade, let alone it doesn't wither. Right, because you see flowers, they have the nice bright colors and, you know, vibrant colors, but with time the colors go down and then they start to wither. So this, it wouldn't do either of that. It would just always stay these bright, vibrant colors. So we can understand is everything is perfect because of its connection with the Lord. Right, so when all of Krishna's energies are all Him, therefore that's why they're special. But it's their contact with Him that makes them beautiful. So if we take His energies without Him, it won't have that beauty that is His inherent beauty. Does that make sense? That's why of this world, though we do things of this world, it may seem special or nice. That's because it is Krishna. But because we're not connecting it to Krishna, therefore it doesn't take on and become beautified. Yes.
So it's the same principle as any ornament. It's nice, but when somebody wears it, it's like
it's
more beautiful.
Yes, it's there. But then even that, Krishna will make the ornament beautiful.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's even more, because the regular person, they'll put, and because of their energy and enthusiasm, it'll add something. But it won't add like that, because we have to remember Krishna is the source of the beauty. And so everything's beautiful because of its being connected to Krishna. Now, we're appreciating that beauty because of its connection to Krishna, but not seeing Krishna. So then how much beauty can we appreciate? Right? Because the point is that it's that devotion to the Lord, that interaction based on bhakti, where the ocean of nectar is. The mechanics that are used in bhakti aren't defined as the taste. Does that make sense? Means the bhakti is expressed through those forms. So therefore you'll discuss the pastimes in connection with that, but it's not the forms themselves, it's the bhakti that's being applied in those forms. Right? Because everything's Krishna, so that means all the forms are connected to Krishna. They're all very special and wonderful. But that's just inherently there. That's just the Brahman platform. Now, when they're connected to Krishna, the person, that's where you get that unlimited taste of rasa.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're touching the unlimited. That's why there's some attraction there, but it lacks any taste of rasa. But we've defined that if I have this, then I'll be happy. So we'll call it rasa, but all we're using is the forms of rasa without rasa. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you have a rasgulla. Okay? Now this rasgulla, it was boiled in plain water. and afterwards you let it sit in the water itself. Now, when you go and taste it, will it be fine?
No.
But it has the form of a rasgulla. It looks fine. It looks great. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because it's not sweet. So, in other words, the form of the rasgulla is simply to carry sweetness. Same with sandesh. Same with the gula. All these sweets, they're called sweets because they carry sweetness. And so we're not defining that it's made with grain, made with dairy products, made with a mix, whether it's fried, whether it's deep, baked, whether it's, none of that. We just put it together. None of that is defined sweets. And then we have savories because they carry salt. We have bitters because they carry that, or sours, or, like that. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that's the real point that's being given there. So bhakti is the actual point. Now, everything is Krishna, so it naturally carries something. It's attractive and nice, but unless you connect it to him, the primary, it doesn't carry the bhakti. So where's the ocean of nectar? And so since the soul being spiritual, it's not about the external forms. It's about the relationship. Since the soul is naturally a servant of Krishna, acting in that capacity, then it gets its natural taste. And if it only interacts with the external element or the forms of the energies around it, then how much taste can be got? Something is there because it's Krishna, but it actually, unless you see it in connection to Krishna, you don't get the real taste. Right? How could it not be nice? It's Krishna. But in comparison to what you can get, does that make sense? It's just like, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing, is he by nature is very beautiful. And so it's just a matter of, because of relationships and rasa, he increases this. But it's not that he needs to wear these things to be beautiful. He's already beautiful. Because he is beauty. Right? He's beauty, he's strength, he's wealth, he's knowledge, renunciation, influence, all these things he is. So he just does this for relationship. So when he does these in relationship, that's where it gets the taste. Right? Because on his own it's not so special. It's okay, it's good. But when it's in relationship to the devotees and rasa and interacting with the devotees, in other words, in contact with his internal potency, then that's where it actually takes on its excellence. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, he would then look at ghee, Amir, the cows and bulls, the brahmanas and the demigods, and see to it that the members of all the social classes living in the palace and throughout the city were satisfied with gifts. After this, he would greet his ministers, gratifying them by fulfilling all their desires. After first distributing flower garlands, pan and sandalwood paste to the brahmanas, he would give these gifts to his friends, ministers, and wives, and finally he would partake of them himself. Footnote 34. He would enjoy last, since that was the decorum for the household. Right? And so that's the pastime he's going through. Otherwise, in Vaikuntha, he'll get first, but all the other devotees, but whoever's doing that service will give to the Lord first, then to all the other devotees, and then last. And so since he's taking that position, he'll give to everyone else, then he'll be last. Right? Because he's rendering service. So you see, even, the others in the palace, friends, ministers, wives, so even his wives, he would give those things to them first and then take last. Not that, I'm the man, so I get first, all these things I'm missing. These are missing the culture, right? We're using the definition or the tattva, but we're not using the measurement. We're using the wrong measurement. Yes?
So, I want to clarify, to say that Krishna is giving to everybody else, to his wives, and then he partakes last. So does it mean that even in families and everything, the women should get first and then the men should get, but other...
No, it depends who's rendering the service.
Because it's always a standard.
Who's rendering the service?
gets the last.
Yes.
So whether it's woman or man,
it doesn't matter who's doing the service. They take last. Just like who's serving prashad, they eat last.
Yes.
So whoever it is, they eat last.
Mm-hmm.
That make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Okay. So there's no standard defined as such.
No, this is that he's giving out gifts, so then everybody else gets, and then he accepts last.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just how it's working.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, if Rukmini is there giving things to Krishna, she may give to Krishna, and then see to all her friends and maidservants are taken care of, then she'll take last. So it's just whoever's rendering the service.
Mm-hmm.
The point is who renders service, then that's how it works. Yes?
If you're rendering the service and the other person insists that you take first, should you argue with
it? Just depends upon if you can avoid it, then you do. Then you do avoid it. If you can't, then you do, and then go on with your service. But if they insist you stop the service because someone else could do and you shouldn't do and all that, then you try to avoid. But in other words, yeah, it's a complete disturbance. Yeah. You know, if it's just a matter of friendly and all that,
yeah,
and you've come down to that level, then it works. Then it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because then they're offering to you.
Yeah.
They're rendering that service. But if it's like, you're a senior devotee, you're serving prashad to all the Vaishnavas, and they say, oh, you're senior, you shouldn't do this, you should sit down. That's just a disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the other people won't be able to do it right. Lord Chaitanya himself was serving prashad at Haridas Thakur's. But because he would serve so much, he would eat enough for five people, so he'd give everyone enough for five people. So Suv Dhamminar and Ramana, they said, you sit down, and then they watch the service. But this idea is that, okay, only the new bhaktas should serve, because everyone, that's not our culture. So, yeah. By then, the Lord's driver would have brought his supremely wonderful chariot, yoked with Sugriva and his other horses. So in other words, Sugriva is the main horse. So Sugriva and then the other three. Because you always have to have a lead in whatever you're doing. Right? His charioteer would bow down to the Lord and then stand before him. Footnote 35. The other horses were Shaibya, Megapushpa, and Balahaka. Okay. And they're all different colors and all far out stuff like that. Holding on to his charioteer's hands, Lord Krishna would mount his chariot, and together with Satyaki and Uddhava, just like the sun rising over the easternmost mountain. So when he'd get up into the chariot, because it's a step up, then the charioteer would help him up. And then he would, you know, he'd take that, wouldn't say, no, I can do it myself, I'm a big boy, you know, he wouldn't do that. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, Atta indicates auspiciousness. The Lord's chariot driver would stand with joined palms, and that the Lord, holding on to his joined palms with his right hand, would mount the chariot. Satyaki and Uddhava were the dearest servants, and thus stood by his side, holding umbrella and chamra. The chariot was huge like a mountain. Right, so none of these modern compacts and stuff like that. Yeah. The Lord was shining like the sun because of his ornaments. The example indicates the magnificence of the chariot. So it was a very grand, big chariot. Because in this, you go to battle in these chariots, you have to be able to take enough weaponry with you. So if you need, you know, let's say, you know, thousands of arrows, you have to have them on the chariot. And then, you know, bows, strings get cut, you need new strings. Bows get cut, you need new bows. You need all the weaponry that's required. It's all in the chariot. You know, it's not just sloshing around or something. You know, it's all nicely put and everything there. Does that make sense? So they're big.
There are no electric wires.
Yeah, no electric wires, so you don't have to worry about bumping into them. Yeah, not like Rath Yatra. You have to bring the top down to go into the wires.
We need to bring the whole canopy down.
Yeah, yeah. Then for the... Sugriva Goswami continued, the palace women would look upon Lord Krishna with shy, loving glances, and thus he would get free from them only with difficulty. He would then set off, his smiling face captivating their minds. Right? So it's not that he just walks out because he's the man. You know, you have to deal properly. So then he's going to go, they want to interact, so he has to deal what's proper. And so that's the thing. You can't say, no, well, this is impractical, why every day this and that? No, it's just the way it is. Because if you don't have this, then you don't really want to know what the other side is. You know, they don't care that you go, then yeah, then... Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. First, the queen's glance at Krishna, though he was accompanied by Satyaki, Uddhava, and others with shy, loving glances. This indicated their pain of separation from him. How can we endure this? By this hint of perplexity, he became bound. He smiled to pacify them. Oh, unsteady women, just by this little separation, you are disturbed. I will return very soon for a meal at noon. Right? Because the Kshatriyas go back to the house for lunch. So, you know, this modern thing is, you know, where it goes throughout. They start earlier and they're back at that time. Then in the evening they do some work. So that's the thing, is they start early, 6 in the morning till noon, then they go because you have to take your bath, your noon bath, your Gayatri, all these things, and then the house, then your lunch and all that, then some rest, then they would go back, then the evening. You wouldn't go to court, but they'd take care of all the things outside of court. You know, visiting the armies, the stables, the, you know, the armories, the treasure, all these kind of things. So that's when they do the tour of the place. But otherwise, the morning was the court dealing with business and everything. Does that make sense? So that's his point. He'll be back at noon. So he's leaving now at this morning time, at 6. He'll be back at noon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kshatriyas, he always takes their meal at home?
That's the general thing, yeah. So it means, in other words, you don't have a canteen in the palace where they have to eat there because, you know, they're busy at work and all that. And everyone comes with a little tray, and, you know, like that. You have the lunch lady there. Yeah, no, you don't have all that. Sorry?
No tiffins.
Yeah, no tiffins. They don't have to bring their tiffin. You know. So the whole thing is everything's done very nicely. You know, it's for the lifestyle. So that's the whole thing. It works in. Because you get up earlier, these things work. Nowadays people get up later, so that doesn't work, you know. Does that make sense? But before is that these things would work because of the lifestyle. Because of the subject lifestyle, they actually would have more time in the day. Yeah. They'd have the breakfast before 6, yeah, basically. Like that. That's called tiffin. It's just small. It's just something. No, it's just... It's not a major thing. Because then lunch would be the major meal, then the evening, you have to remember there's dinner also. And if you're up early leaving it, you're not that hungry. So it'll all work. You don't have to worry. Then, bewildering their minds with just a smile, he got out of difficulty. Free from the bondage of their loving glances, Krichrat Vrishrita, he went off. Right? So you can see is that he had to do something. He couldn't just walk out. Right? So he's there, then they're looking, he has to look back. You know, there has to be the proper interaction. These are subtle, but they're important. That. And so you see Krishna would take care of all these kind of details. These are, you know, yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Lord, attended by all the Vrishnis, would enter the Sudharma assembly hall, which protects those who enter it from the 6 waves of material life. Dear King, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, it may be remembered that the Sudharma assembly hall was taken away from the heavenly planets and established in the city of Dwarka. The specific significance of the assembly house that was that anyone who entered it would be free from the 6 kinds of material pangs, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. So those, yeah.
Only inside?
Yeah. When you're inside, when they're having the court, then everything works perfectly. When you step outside, in other words, if they had had this in Rome, they would not have been able to kill Caesar in the assembly. They would have to step outside. Inside, no. Yeah. So this is the thing comes to mind. So it would free one from all that, So that's the funny part, is you have these six, and so that makes it there. And so these are six kinds of material pangs, right? So then, yeah, it seems to be problems come in six, right? You know, then the six enemies, and, you know, yeah. And then, yeah, and then the progress in life, right? Birth, growth, then there's six of those, and so, yeah. They're just, you know, double three.
Six opulences.
Six opulences, yeah. So at least one thing's good in six. Okay, so these, Prabhupada's saying, these are the whips of material existence, and as long as one remained in the Sudharma assembly hall, he would not be affected by these six material whips. So then anyway, you didn't have to worry about breakfast because they wouldn't get hungry anyway. So they wouldn't get hungry or thirsty, so they could go through perfectly. The BBT purport mentions, Srila Sridharaswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti explained that when Lord Krishna would exit separately from each of his many palaces, each individual form would be visible to the persons present on those particular palace grounds and to the neighboring residents, but not to others. Then at the gateway path of the Sudharma assembly hall, all the forms of the Lord would merge into a single form, and thus he would enter the hall. So he would leave each palace, and those in the palace and those around the palace, they would see that one form, but not all the other forms that he's leaving. And then all those, they would all come together, and then when he entered Sudharma, then he would just be one Krishna. Then when he'd leave, then again he would go out into all 16,108. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 17 in Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 157. How is it possible to have such varieties of manifestations by which separate and union simultaneously exist? Right? Yeah. Quote, by myself, I manifest, sustain, and withdraw my pastimes within myself by the power of my personal energy, which comprises spiritual objects, senses, and qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-30, right? So that's the meaning of 1 plus 1 is 1, 1 minus 1 is 1, because you're adding Krishna to Krishna. And so it's still just Krishna. You take away Krishna from Krishna, you still have Krishna. So you're not going to have anything different. It's just a matter of whether he manifests there that you can see or not. But the point is, it's still part of him. It's just whether you can see it, whether you can measure it. So these devotees with that one palace can measure and see Krishna. But they can't see the others. Because the point is, it's not that because I can measure anything. Does that make sense? That doesn't work with that. So, yeah. Yep, yeah. Within my form, having unlimited manifestations by myself, I display Sri Jay, a particular manifestation. By what means does it manifest? It manifests by the power of my inconceivable Surup Shakti, Atma, Mayanu Bhavena. I mean, so that Maya, that measurement is his. It's by his Surup Shakti, by his internal potency. That's how then you are able to measure or see that form, a manifestation of that form. All of them are there. It's just which one will be manifest that you can see. But in his natural state, then he's that form of Krishna in Braja. Right? So then that manifesting according to his Surup Shakti, then that's how it's going to be. So his two-hour form is his original form, and then all these are different moods. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So now his soul cannot measure.
No, it means the soul's too small to measure. So the soul can measure under one of the two Shaktis. So the measurement is actually the external or internal potency. We can just perceive that. Just like these residents of the palace, they can only perceive the one Krishna that left their palace. They can't perceive the other Krishnas. Because it's just one Krishna. There's so many forms, but it's just like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sarupa, Bhutaya, Nitya, Shaktya, Maya, Kaya, Yuta. Maya means an eternal Shakti arising from the Lord's Sarup. Chaturveda Shika, quoted in Madhva's commentary. Oh, Siksha. No, Shika, yeah. What is, yeah, because Shika also means what's inside. You know, like the Paramatma, he sits in the heart, in the Sika. like that. It means you have on the head, but he's also in the heart. So then, the point is this, what is the essence of the four Vedas? What's in the heart of the Vedas? Because the Vedas are coming from the Lord's heart. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's his Surup Shakti. What is that power? It is a manifestation, Atmana, of spiritual objects, Bhuta. My senses, Indriya, qualities, form, and Rasa. Right, so all these are manifest, and so this catches all the different aspects of the devotee. So the devotee, he is able to be absorbed in all these because of his devotion. That's the point, is that all these are there, but as you advance, then the absorption will increase. So that means first we're hearing the name, then the qualities, name, form, qualities, pastimes, you know, associate, all these different things, they all come as we go. Mm-hmm. As we advance, then they start to be revealed. Mm-hmm. Means we are hearing about them and all that, but where you realize you can actually meditate upon them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? My sense, okay, instead of Buddha, sometimes Buddhi is seen. The meaning is then power, by power in which Sarup exists, the internal senses, external senses, qualities, form, and rasa. So it's through his energies that everything is manifest. Like that. That's how you see. That's why we're saying it's either his internal potency, which is the natural form, or the shadow of that potency, which is the external. So it's not that it's separate as such. It has a connection. It's the shadow of the Sarup. Does that make sense? Yes.
So we shouldn't be in anxiety that we chant one kind of name, but then form, quality, and pastimes of a different name might manifest. Because devotees sometimes they worry, you know, we chant specific name which is given in a parampara, but what about, you know, Narayan, what about Vaikuntha, what about this, or what about that? So this is all aligned.
That means will we get the benefit of all those?
No, the thing is that we chant specific name, Krishna's
right,
name.
Right.
So according to the name we chant in, then the form, quality, and pastimes of that specific name will manifest, not some other pastimes of a different...
No, it's not you're going to be chanting there and then find out that you're, you know, suddenly look up and notice you have a tail and you're carrying rocks to build the bridge or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, it won't. Because the point is it comes in a natural form. Because that's why then you hear these pastimes, because you're attracted by these specific pastimes.
Yeah.
Like that. So you won't end up somewhere else. Doesn't mean you can't appreciate these other pastimes. It just means that you'll view them from here. Just like there are so many Krishnas there, right? 16,000 Krishnas. Mm-hmm. But from your palace, you see the Krishnas connected to your palace. Doesn't mean they all aren't there, but you just see that one. So the same way as then in our line, we'll see Krishna in that line. There won't be other aspects there. But it doesn't mean from ours we can't appreciate all these others. It's just that what we'll see is then Krishna in that form. So it's just like Jambavan. He's fighting with Krishna. Did he understand anything?
Not no. Right away.
But after 28 days, he understood this is wrong. Yeah. Now he understands Krishna.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. So that's how it works. Because it's taste, it's relationship. So it's not a matter of everything. If it's everything, then that's Shanta Ras. So it's not any specific rasa. That means it's just, you know, that flavor general. So you may have a more broad understanding or a less broad understanding. So he sees Narad Muni is the broadest, but even he, then if it gets too much, you know, intimate, then it's beyond his capacity. He can understand why it's being done, but it's uncomfortable for him. Does that make sense? You know, but let's say, someone like Nanda and Jashoda, they have no problem that Krishna comes in the morning and comes in and offers them respect as his parents and things like that, or Vasudeva. They don't have that problem. Right? Does that make sense? Unless, but in Dwarka, if he manifests something, some great opulence, then they'll switch into Dasya. And then he'll have to extend Yoga Maya to bring them back into parental. But in Braj, it doesn't change. You know, it's like, what's his name? Jagannath Misra. So Chaitanya's father. He makes the point. He may be the supreme personality of Godhead. That's fine, but still, as his father, I have to correct him. You know, he's wrong. So you see Mother Yashoda. You know, he's God. That doesn't matter, but he broke the pot. So he's got to be punished. Because that's just the relationship. So it doesn't affect. So they can see all other aspects, but it doesn't affect their relationship. Yeah, so you don't have to worry that, you know, halfway down the line, somebody with a mouthful of super white teeth with a little bit of gold in here and this and that and their suit and really greased back hair, and they try to sell you some other name. You know. I say, use names. Good deal. Right? Or what is it? Not use. They don't use that anymore. Previously chanted names. Manifesting my form, I later, anu, go elsewhere. Han mi. Han means violence. Yeah, they did have a problem with them, didn't they? yeah, it just came down from the north. Who are you guys? What do you think? Well, you're so violent. We're Hans. Sometime after that, Anu, again, I personally return and nourish, palaye, those who are suffering because of separation from me. Another meaning of hami is, I then make my manifested form disappear. I withdraw that manifestation, making the variety of forms into one. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he withdraws from that palace, and then all the manifestations he's made, then he comes into one. Yes. Because it's just him. Right?
Does that make sense?
But he's, you know, like that. This applies to this pastime. Yes. Right? Violence and going. Because there's... thing is that here is that then a disruption is there in him going, so that becomes very disturbing, right? Like that. But he'll be back. So that's the thing. He always does come back. So again, the origin. Yeah. But it's also just depending upon the nature of the rasa and everything like that. And so then it has its natural cycle. So always the aspect of separation increases the quality of the interaction. So that's why it's always there, even in realms where they're not into separation. But they don't consider it like that. Does that make sense? So it just means how it increases is slower.
Yes.
Like that. That's why the separation means the quality of relationship in Braj is the pinnacle of all the realms. Because the intensity of separation is greater. The other realms are perfect, but they're not as great because the separation isn't as strong. Because separation is for the purpose of increasing when one's together. Right? Means the quality of the sambhog is increased because of the separation. Does that make sense? Srila Sridhar Swami has also commented on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.70.17. Leaving each house, Krishna as one form entered the Sudharma Hall. Madhva's commentary also says, Sa Devo Bahuda Nirguna Purushottamaha Eki Bhuya Punaf Shete Nirdosho Harir Ad Adi Krit. The Supreme Lord beyond the gunas, without fault, the original creator, having many forms, becomes one again and rests. So then in any case, how, He as Mahavishnu, he breathes out, makes all the universes, he glances, he enters, then he expands again, then there's all the other avatars, and like that you have unlimited forms. Then he breathes back in, and then he's just one again. Does that make sense? Or there's unlimited expansions of the Lord, and then he comes as Krishna, as the avatari. And then all avatars are within him, so he becomes one again. Does that make sense? So this principle is always there, of him expanding and then becoming one, expanding on one. Yes.
And then when he goes out, like when he goes out on his chariot, does then Vasudev enter his...
Depends on what he's doing. It means they're already there. By him coming, they're already present. Because they're already... means when Krishna, all these avatars, whatever they are, unlimited, are already within Krishna. That's what gives that unlimited variety that's there. Right? Because... other, when he manifests a specific form, it's within that. It's unlimited within that particular category. But Krishna has this wide range of these things. So all of them are there. It's just within the realm of sweetness. That's all. Because the opulence is greater. All the different things he does is greater than you see in other places. But because it maintains sweetness, it's not seen in that kind of capacity. So... yeah.
Maharishi is the same principle, manifestation or not, in union and separation.
It's all the principle means is Krishna. He is everything, but he is one person. So that's the whole aspect, is that you're always dealing is why, because it's by his will and through his internal potency, then it increases his pleasure. Right, so interacting with the internal potency, that's where his pleasure is increased. And then supportive of that is then all the knowledge and skills and attitudes that go along with that performance of activity that pleases him. Mm. So, yes. Shankara's commentary quotes Shruti in this regard. Sa ekadha bhavati. Dvidha bhavati. The Lord is one and then two. Chandogya Upanishad 7:26-2. I then nourish myself, palaye. Again appearing, I produce bliss by pastimes with my best devotees. Though disappearance seems inappropriate, it produces karunya rasa in the devotee, a feeling of compassion for his devotees. In the Lord, a feeling of compassion for his devotees, suffering during separation. One should not think it is at fault, right? Because it only increases happiness. It means you're doing something, and you're doing something with a friend, and it's a very nice time. But you know a different situation will be even better. So then you say, well, stop this, we'll go to this other place. So in between, they're not enjoying very much, and they're complaining and this and that and so many things. But then when you get there, and then you see... the greatness of the opportunities for happiness there is much greater than they don't mind the other. You understand? So the whole point is that the devotees, because it's connected to Krishna, because he's the source of happiness, therefore they're always happy, even though it appears in the form of separation. But then when they're together with Krishna, then the manifestation becomes even greater. So... Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the Almighty Supreme Lord would seat himself upon his exalted throne, there in the assembly hall, he shone with his unique effulgence, illuminating all the quarters of space. Surrounded by the Yadus, lions among men, that best of the Yadus appeared like the moon amidst many stars. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, there sitting on the most excellent throne, he shone because of his most excellent form among his people who had been given similar forms. Right, so that's what I mean, is that it's always in a compatible form. So they're of the same nature as the Lord. So that's where the oneness is. They have the same nature, same everything as the Lord. That's why they can interact. Does that make sense? So the same kind of qualification, the same kind of interest, the same all this. Yeah? His throne also shone as the best among all thrones, including those of Ugrasena and others, even though these had been made most excellent, right? Because he sat on it, like before. he wears the ornaments become more beautiful because he sat on the throne, therefore it became the most effulgent and most attractive. Even though, naturally, Ugrasena's by ornamentation would be the best. But still, Krishna's look better because of he's sitting on it. Right? And it's not a problem for everyone because they're all devotees. So Ugrasena being a devotee, he'd want the best for the Lord. But because you have the pastime and the etiquette, his will be fancier, but Krishna's will still look better. Does that make sense? And he, as the supreme Vibhu, shown in the Sudharma Hall, the best hall, endowed with the qualities of all best halls. He's shown by his own effulgence and illuminated all directions completely. He's shown surrounded by the Yadavas, since they, as his associates, were the best of all men. And since he was the best of the Yadus, displaying his special powers among the best of similar people, thus the example of the moon and stars is apt. Right, so he's the best person amongst the best persons. They're sitting in the best assembly hall of best assembly halls. And he's sitting upon, you know, when he sits on the best throne of all best thrones. So it's just whatever he does is always the best. Right? So one may say as well, you know, other, you know, hall would be better. But we have to remember it's because of its connection to Krishna. That's what makes it the best. So it makes sense. It's like the ornaments. They become the best because they're ornamenting Krishna. So they become, so even though we might say that, okay, above Indra's hall would be Brahma's hall. But the point is Brahma's hall's not for humans. Right? It's only yogis and that. That's the only people who are up there. Who's on his planet are only yogis. Like that. So then they have something. You look, it's looking in a particular way. And it's very beautiful. You look at it, notice and appreciate the beauty. When you look away, if you look back, it's different. It's changed. So that goes into the mystic. So then that's not, that doesn't work as well in human pastimes. It has to be very obvious. So Indra's thing will just be the most nicest, opulent, have the best facilities of anything in the universe. So in other words, amongst those who are interested in sense gratification, Indra's will be the best. And so then that's then what's brought down through Dwarka, because they're playing human pastimes. So then it's the best according to the human perspective. Yes?
Sometimes it's difficult to understand or explain to the devotees because they're fascinated by mysticism. And that particular opulence, it's very attractive somehow or other. So we're talking about human pastimes, but if we, you know, somehow mystic within human, then it's even better.
Yeah, but then it's not about human pastimes, because human means you want it, you have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
But mystic means you don't. You know, you wiggle your nose, you snap your fingers, or, you know, whatever it is that you do, wiggle your fingers, you know, something to make it happen. And then, so it doesn't have the same flavor. So for someone who doesn't have it, it seems very attractive. But for someone who has it, then where's the rasa? You know what I'm saying? Where's the interaction with the others? It means that Krishna wanted all of the residents of Dwarka to have garlands and sandalwood paste and all that. They would have it. But it's the rasa to go around, give it to them, and do it in that particular order. So it's taste, it's rasa. So mysticism may be a taste, but it's a material taste. Just like dharma, art, you know, it's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. These are material tastes. Karma and gyan, these are our material tastes. And so the mysticism that most are attracted to is karma mysticism. It's material facility. Right. And so, therefore, then they think that's very special. But it's just karma. So since when is karma special? It's only when it's engaged in Krishna's service. And so you could say, well, no, but I don't engage in Krishna's service. But then the whole point is then it's a matter of my mystic power rather than how does Krishna want it to unfold. So if there's going to be anything mystical, Krishna will do it. Is that... So again, it's that you take the thing, not say, oh, that's... You just take it farther and then where does it go? So... being that it's mystic, it ends at a particular point. It doesn't keep going to through the spiritual realm. So karma and jnana will always stop by the Brahman, latest. And so it doesn't go through to the other side. So it's not something that's important. You know, saying if things are there, then they could do. But then why does everybody do the way they do? Because you can only means when Narad Muni is there in the assembly, and then he plays his veena and rises up and disappears. Does anybody freak out? No, that's why he can do it. Otherwise, he'll walk off and disappear somewhere else. So, in other words, you know, if that's the only thing, Narad Muni's so great because he can disappear. Why do we think Narad Muni's great? Because he's a devotee. Because of his devotion, his instructions. You know, like that, the revealer of Pancharatra and Naishkarmya. That's why he's great. Not because he can appear and disappear at will. But if we're enamored by mysticism, we'll catch that, which is very meager. You know, it's like clutching it. You're out in the ocean, middle of the ocean, you're clutching at straws, you know. Or at best, you know, you've got a dog's tail, right? You know? Huh?
More hope,
yeah.
We see in Braj pastimes when Krishna kills demons or chastises the demigods, he uses his mystic opulence.
Yes.
Very often.
Yes, but he does that as Vasudeva. It's the Vasudeva aspect that does. Kills the demons and those things. But does it affect how the devotees deal with it?
No.
So that's the whole point, is that because they can handle that, therefore, because it is, it's not that he's not God. But they'll see the context as of being God as Krishna. So it doesn't disturb their relationship with him. So you can only manifest what will enhance the relationship. So if it's about being God, then that's why he manifests, because that's how they want to see him. Because you see, if he's just sitting there with the cowherd boys eating his lunch, Lord Brahma's not impressed. But then, when every one of those cowherd boys turns into a Vishnumurti, and everything else turns into a Vishnumurti, now he's impressed. So that's why he does it. So it's rasa. As you surrender, he reciprocates. It's not that it's a higher principle, and he's hiding it to the bridge posses. He doesn't have to. It's another aspect of Krishna. You know, it doesn't have that sweetness. But he doesn't. So in Braj, it's always about the sweetness. So he'll manifest it with the sweetness. So he lifted Govardhan Hill. Did that impress Indra? No. Not at the time. Because then he came and sent all these things and all that. Only when he saw that nothing happened, and all the, you know, it's all the waters dried up by Sudarshan and everything like that, and the mountains, you know, means by the sounds of it, you know, within a week, they would have inundated the universe. Right? And so, Braj is still not having a problem. So then he starts to understand. So that mystic power on that side means the mystic power of the devas, now he's impressed. But the mystic power that he's applying through the human, he is not impressed. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, it's not that he's not using the mystic power. It's just that he's doing it in such a way that it's still within the confines of human pastimes. It's mystic, but it's still within the human pastimes. Does that make sense? So that is appreciated by the Brajvasis. The others don't appreciate it so much. Right? Or they can appreciate it if they see it as an opulence of the Lord. But for the Brajvasis, they just see it as the sweetness of the Lord. How he interacts with the devotees.
So, it's only in the human pastime that you can develop this sweetness with Krishna?
Yes.
In the heavenly planets, you cannot?
It's harder. If they've had that touch here, like you see, like say, Nalukuvara and Manigriva, they've met the Lord, then they may develop it, because they'll think of Braja Krishna. But whether they go to Braj or whether they go to Vaikuntha, that we have to see. But the tendency is the opulent position, it's about the opulence. So where's opulence? Opulence is Vaikuntha. You know, so that's why for the devotee, we see is that it's not going to be so much, because otherwise, why is it that the devotee who is distracted by opulence, then after leaving this body, they go to the heavenly planets. And they then Krishna fulfills their desires within the realm of their interest of opulence. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it was, that's then what they'll get in the heavenly planets. But then they come back and take birth in the, you know, a religious or, you know, aristocratic family. But it's not a devotee family. It's an aristocratic, you know, like that. So that's the whole thing, is that something's been done. So they've all like this, so we can see, is that's why it says it's many, many lifetimes of devotional service. Because all these things have to be. So if you were born in the family of devotees, that means you were farther. You didn't go to the heavenly planets. You just straight went from this to, you know, birth into the devotee family. But, so we can see is that there's a difference. So heavenly planets is not what you call ideal for cultivating devotional service. Otherwise, why do they come back here? And also then Prabhupada said the demigods are waiting in line to take birth in the families of devotees. So that also means that here it's very quick, because here in 100 years, that's 100 days, that's 3 months in the heavenly planets. Right? Does that make sense? So what would take you a whole lifetime you can do in 3 months or less. Why, if you were interested in devotional service, you'd rather be here. So yeah. So therefore everything is perfect and it's all centered around Krishna. He's the one that makes the hall the perfection, the throne the perfection. You know, all this associates the perfection, all this ornaments. So therefore he's like the moon and they're like the stars. Right? Because it says, Krishna says, of all the luminaries, then he's the moon. Right? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. And there, O king, jesters would entertain the Lord by displaying various comic moves. Expert entertainers would perform for him, and female dancers would dance energetically. Footnote 36. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in the assembly house were professional jokers, dancers, musicians, and ballet girls. And as soon as the Lord sat on his throne, they would begin their respective functions to please the Lord and put him in a happy mood. First of all, the jokers would talk in such a way that the Lord and his associates would enjoy their humor. Right? Yeah, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the Sudarma Hall.
My, this is the first thing.
Yeah, well, you don't want anyone being grumpy and start a meeting, right? Isn't that, yeah, you start the meeting, the guy's still grumpy like yesterday? Yeah, no, you start a meeting. Which would refresh the morning mood, right? Because they, you know, that, and then they've done their sadhana and their charity, so that piety is there, that peacefulness is there. But as soon as you click into, you know, your management mode, then the problem is then you might get back into whatever it was yesterday. So this way it lightens the mood and then you start off fresh. Let's say refresh the morning mood. So this idea is that it's all got to be business and all that, then is wrong. Or the guys that just joke the whole time, that's also wrong. You know? So you have to... You know.
GBC should consider.
Sorry?
GBC should consider.
Yes, so also, otherwise it gets so... gets very... how you say?
City.
Yes. The dramatic actors would then play their parts, and the dancing ballet girls would separately display their artistic movements.
Okay, without the ballet girls.
Huh?
They can take without the ballet girls.
Yes. Yeah, we'll stop at that point. But also, isn't it nice that dancing ballet girls would separately display their artistic movements? And... the female dancers would dance energetically. That's the meaning of poet. You understand? So one's literal, one's poetic.
Yes.
So you'll always see is that when you see the two translations next to each other, Prabhupada has that poetic aspect. Like that. These performers would dance and sing to the sounds of mridangas, veenas, murajas, flutes, cymbals, and conch shells. While professional poets, chroniclers, and Panigiris would recite the Lord's glories. Footnote 37. Muraja is another kind of drum. Some brahmanas sitting in that assembly hall would fluently chant Vedic mantras, while others recounting stories of past kings of pious renown. Right, so then you'd have all these things to set the mood pleasant like this, because when you do that, you relax. When you relax, then the brain starts to work, right? You know, it's just like I'm not sure where he's from. Was he from France, our man in the bathtub, the Eureka Walla, or was he Italian, or... No one knows.
Greek?
Okay, he was Greek. Okay.
Archimedes,
okay, he's Greek.
No, you're Greek.
So the whole point is that you're taking a bath, you're doing something like that that has no real so much function as far it needs, you know, the using intelligence. The mind relaxes, then it starts to work properly. So that's the idea. You have this thing, you have this entertainment. It's not about entertainment for sense gratification, it's entertainment to relax the mind. So that then it starts to be able to function. That's why it says refresh. That's the whole idea. So that's why at night you see is that, you know, in these aristocratic houses and that, or the kings, then before going to sleep there will be some kind of performance, musical or drama or things like that, and always in connection with the Lord, or great personalities like that. So then you go to bed thinking of nice things, and then in the morning you see there would be these things, and then that way the whole day would go nicely. Yes.
What are panegyrists?
Panegyrists, the ones who glorify. Panegyrists would recite the Lord's glories. Like that. That's the fun part about English. Depending upon the word and how it's placed, it completely changes how you would pronounce it. Because who knows where this word's from, right? You know, if it's from France, it's from German, it's from Italian, it's from Greek. So they might maintain the original pronunciation, or a kind of original pronunciation, or come up with their own pronunciation. So that's why they completely change. It's like that. I think it's probably the hardest language to learn to read. Other languages, it's very set how it is. The letters always work the same. But in English, it doesn't. So, depending on how you want to do it, God bless the Queen, God bless America. And what do they say in Oz?
G'day,
man. Okay, they don't take it back to anything. Okay. Okay. So it's just a matter of those who recite the glories of a person. So you see, some are reciting the glories of previous kings and all that, so that you see the glories, how you do, you're inspired to do your ruling according to how they perform their activities. Like, you know, you see the charity of this one, or the commitment to their vows of another one, or the chivalry, or the honor, or all these great qualities that you would see that are to be used in the performance of their duties as kings. So these would always be something to inspire. Right?
You say that in the Gita, it said the balance between work and recreation.
Work and recreation, yes.
This is like the recreation, you can say?
You can say, but it's a recreation within, it's a built-in recreation. You know, like nowadays, the recreation is going for, you know, have a 10-minute break to go drink some water, some coffee, and everyone hangs out there and talks all kinds of stupid stuff. But, Okay.
Recreation.
Now recreation. So it's not as such, you have nothing so much to do, but it's that same principle. You have to balance the two. Because otherwise it's all work. We know what happened to Jack, right? You know, so it didn't work out good for him.
But it is perfectly balanced.
That's the whole point. It's perfectly balanced. So, and this is within the Kshatriya environment. You see, others do it in a much more light way.
Yes.
The Kshatriyas, then, it's all done in a grand way, because they're doing, everything's grand and everything's very big and their consequences are very big. Like this. So this wouldn't apply to the GBC, since it's an assembly of Brahmins. So it would be there, you know, so then if they come in and they're laughing and joking for a few minutes beforehand, someone shouldn't come in grumpy and, wow, we gotta get serious here. Like, no, it's, so in other words, when something comes up that's funny, it's appreciated, it lightens the mood and all, then you get back to the point. So if somebody just wants to keep it grumpy all the time and thinks that's more efficient, it's not actually. Like that. So we have to be able to understand. So Kshatriyas would do it in a very formal way. Brahmins will do it in a much lighter way. Like we were saying, there's Brahmins are sitting there waiting to perform a ritual. And in between there's some gaps, you know, waiting for some, you know, someone to come, or they've set up and waiting for the time to start. They're sitting around goofing on verses. Like that. And then when it comes time, then they're going, you know. So, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's there. So in other words, the Stanislavski approach is not necessarily the perfection of how everything works. It just drives everyone nuts. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.